Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of it.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
It's my favorite day of the week.
Hello, Greg Cody.
We should start right there. Let's just start with all of that. All of just us asking Greg Cody, just us basically. We are around here a little less gentle than the game day crew with Lee Corso because Greg Cody's age is something that is getting in the way every Tuesday of Billy's favorite day of the week, getting in the way of the show. It's what Billy loves the most. That Greg Cody throws grenades everywhere. So let's start here with Homer Cody. Certainly you're not picking the Lakers. Like here at the end of your dinosaur column career, there's no way that you go against the home team as a lifelong Miamian who is one of the greatest homers in the history of hometown media.
Well, I can't reveal my pick yet, but I will say this. The money is flowing in on Miami. I mean, the odds of the Lakers winning are going down simply because a lot of people are on the bandwagon. You know, it's getting crowded on that bandwagon. And I think they have a real shot. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, no, the Heat probably isn't going to win, but and neither are the Marlins, but both a great story.
What happened there?
Let me ask you guys a serious question.
You didn't say anything.
You really didn't. You just flailed about. If that was the radio equivalent of a fish being taken out of the water and just flopping on a deck until it dies because it has no oxygen. Like you said, no, I don't know. What do you think? And then you changed your mind.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this? How about Heat in six? Is that what you want?
I don't. Yeah. I just want to know what you think.
Yeah.
What is your pick? Break it exclusively here, so we don't have to wait until the Miami Herald to find out what your pick is.
Let's say Heat in seven. Honestly, I just have a feeling this is
a
dream team. You know,
he is right though. As of Monday morning, 17 of the first 18 bets on the NBA Finals were on the Heat at the sportsbook at Westgate Las Vegas. I mean, a lot of people are pounding the Heat right now.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Is there worse sports analysis for predicting a result than I have a feeling?
It's my kind of analysis.
I have a feeling. Yeah. Like if I were watching pregame shows all over sports and every guy said, I just have a feeling.
If I had more than a feeling, it would be a pretty extraordinary story. If I had proof that the Heat were going to win, if I knew that the Lakers were going to throw the series, then that would be a pretty extraordinary story.
Yes, I have a feeling. Isn't every upset based on I have a feeling, though? Because if you don't go on feelings, you just go on numbers and stats and calculators
Correct.
And algorithms, then the favorite would always win.
Technically, it's all a feeling. We have no – even when you take the favorite, it's a feeling. You have no idea who's going to win.
Basketball, Billy, the favorite almost always does win. You say –
except now with the Heat,
Heat 5 seed, Dan. They've made it all the way to the finals. And, you know, if you go by the numbers, they shouldn't have even made it out of the first round.
Right. Yeah, favorite always wins. Tell it to Doc Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Stugatz did not believe that Doc Rivers was going to get fired. Doc Rivers didn't believe that Doc Rivers was going to get fired. But here is a stat for you. This is one that Homer Mike is going to eat up here. This stat right here. The Heat are the fifth NBA finalist to have a different leading scorer in each round of the playoffs. Goran Dragic was the first round against the Pacers, Jimmy Butler against the Bucks, Bam Adebayo here in the last series against the Celtics. The previous four to have done it all won the title.
Nice.
Depth.
If you're looking for someone to tell you that they think the Lakers win, I think you should go elsewhere.
I think the Miami Heat win this one. And I don't really think that the Lakers have been so like overwhelming in this postseason. I don't think, look at the defenses they've played. Blazers, Rockets, Nuggets, those are some really poor defenses. And again, don't do the thing where you point to the Miami's regular season defensive metrics. Don't do that. I care about you. Different season altogether. So I like Miami's chances here. I think we can shoot well against this defense.
We.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's we. Part of the team.
I've been, Dan, I can share photos from a float that I was next to your dad on to Miami Heat parades. I'm a veteran of those. So I'm expecting a socially distanced Zoom parade. And I think the Miami Heat win this series.
Aren't you a veteran of three parades? Because you and my father and Billy also rode down Ocean Drive after Golden State beat LeBron to celebrate that title as well. Aren't you a veteran?
I forgot how petty we were. Where we essentially adopted Golden State as our team because we hated LeBron for robbing us of that feeling for so many reasons, mostly financial. And we totally adopted them. I had an avatar that was a hybrid Warriors and Heat logo for a while.
Can you guys send that send the video out of you guys doing a parade with just my father. My father wearing Golden State Warriors gear. It's wonderful is what it is. Billy, you were saying.
Well, is this series, and just, I know that what you're going to say, but you think this series is a must-win for Pat Riley's legacy? Now, hear me out on this. The last two championships they won were with LeBron. Before that, it's been 14 years since he had been to the finals, right? So this is really like a whole, you know, Pat redid it. He can do it without LeBron. You think this is a must-win for Pat's legacy, Dan?
What I think is interesting about this series from those narratives is you could not have on better display the things that Riley and LeBron were arguing about at the end in terms of what he meant to the franchise and what the franchise meant to him. Because here it is. It is culture against can one guy do it on his own. Pat Riley thought he was needed by LeBron. LeBron thought he didn't need Pat Riley anymore. He went to Cleveland, and like Dwayne Wade going to Chicago, they looked around. They're like, man, this is horseshit. This organization is not run correctly. But he won anyway and did so with one of the great upsets in the history of the finals, but did it one time. Did it one time. So this is a great litmus test because LeBron's got the best player. LeBron has got the best two players. And here it is just going up against Heat culture.
So, yes, it's a legacy series.
I'm with you. Honestly, a part of of Pat Riley's legacy, look, when LeBron leaves a team, it leaves that team in tatters, right? But with Cleveland, it left it in tatters because he just merely left. When Miami, remember, this was a trade for LeBron James. It was a sign and trade. Miami, if they could do it over again, would never just hand over the first round draft picks that they did to Toronto and Cleveland to get Chris Bosh and LeBron James. They sold their future for the right now and really should have pushed back on that notion.
Well, for a decade. They sold it for what they thought was a decade of those guys being together, not 4 years.
LeBron, when he and they did all this specifically so they could get fifth year option rights, hoping that they would extend. They never took those options, and LeBron left. And not only did he leave, the Miami Heat did not have future draft picks, capital to replace LeBron James, and he actively recruited against the Miami Heat and made the Cleveland Cavaliers a stronger contender whilst making Miami a weaker one.
Trying to sabotage the Heat's effort is the feeling within the Heat organization from more than one person, lest you think that I'm just caping up for Riley here.
But why would he make the Heat better, though, if he was leaving the Heat? Like, it's natural to not help them out.
To push back on that, I understand your point. He didn't try to make the Cavs weaker in ways that he tried to make the Miami Heat weaker, reportedly. Remember, the Miami Heat not only lost the draft picks because he insisted on having a fifth-year option that he never actually took, but in cases like Pau Gasol, he was ghosting them. There was a report, Dan, that he actually told Pau Gasol, hey, don't do that in regards to the Miami Heat, because Pau Gasol was considering signing with the Miami Heat. So he actively recruited against Miami in ways that he never actually actively went against Cleveland both times.
Because when he left Cleveland, they weren't going to be a contender in the East. When he left Miami, they were still going to be his competition. So why would he want to make his competition stronger?
class, like it's I understand what you're saying, and it's certainly what Sugats would do. Just sort of leave. Maybe leave the organization that helped win you your first two titles in good shape and care for it. It was a bad breakup. It was an ugly breakup. Pat Riley wasn't being paid attention to in a room in Las Vegas. They were watching the World Cup. In retrospect, Pat Riley doesn't really understand how he left that meeting convinced that he thought LeBron James was going to actually say it. Speaks to Pat Riley's ego, I guess.
Yes, it does. Like, actually, that is absolutely a place where Pat Riley can look back at the fury that he felt back there and know that it was ego and how badly disrespected he felt about flying out to Las Vegas for the Dog and Pony Show, having in the hallway Stugatz the championship trophies being brought up because he was back to recruiting right. LeBron James. And while he's doing this, one of the dudes has his feet up on the table, the Mims dude, Randy Mims. I think LeBron had three or four people in the room, and Mims had his feet up on the table, and LeBron couldn't be pulled away from the World Cup game. Riley had to ask them to turn down the sound on the World Cup game.
But in terms of legacy, I think Riley's legacy, certainly down here, is secure. I think nationally, it's pretty secure. Bill, I would tell you the guy's legacy who is on the line right now, who's got to prove something, is Eric Spoelstra. That's the guy. Mm. Now, I'm telling you, no one gives him credit as being one of the best head coaches in the NBA because he did it with the Big Three. If he could do it with this particular team, he will finally get the credit that he
now.
Deserves.
He's getting it now, though.
Yeah, he needs to validate it with a title. I'm telling you.
Every broadcast, they say he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I know that. But listen, no one takes him that seriously. They're just saying it in the moment. I'm telling you, he needs to win a title without LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. And if he does so, his legacy will be firmly entrenched.
The thing I'm getting frustrated by, and this is what Tuesdays are with you two, but it's Cody, I have a feeling, and you with I'm telling you.
Well,
I'm telling you again and again. We know you're telling
us.
We're listening to you. You keep saying, I'm telling you.
I'm telling
this
you.
Is for his legacy. And even though you're telling us, it's not what other people are saying.
Well, they're wrong.
Well, I'm telling you, and I have a feeling, Eric Spoelstra doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He's a great coach. I think he's recognized as a great coach. I think you could argue that he's one of the top three coaches in the league. And, you know, he can win with anybody. And just the fact that as a fifth seed, just the fact that he got into the NBA Finals feathers his resume.
I'm embarrassed to say this, but I agree with Greg.
Really?
I wear my Heat fandom daily, sort of on my cap or on my person. But I do feel the need to be fair and balanced because I you asked me, why would LeBron do that? I said, class. But it's not like Pat Riley handled LeBron's exit classy either. Remember, there was that ugly public moment where he kind of let it leak out that LeBron's wife was pregnant with a girl, and LeBron didn't really want that out there. The infamous gut speech, which is still now a part of Miami Heat fandom lexicon. Like, he didn't handle that well either. It's remarkable that he was able to survive not only that, not only the depletion of the first-round draft picks, the actively recruiting against that franchise, but then the blood clots. He had a whole plan to retool and go after LeBron James with Goran Dragic and Chris Bosh. That didn't end up happening. It's a testament to him being here, but he was also fueled by pettiness.
I mean, it's as angry as I've ever seen him, and he was unbelievably pissed off by everything that happened there because, Stugatz, it's you. I'm telling you this needs to be validated. All that stuff coming down on the ego of it looked like it didn't look privately like he got dragged. It looked to all of us like he got dragged across the country for a dog and pony show as LeBron wrestled the power from the league away from him. Like that's what it looked like to everybody. And he went through the emotions of anger, hurt, sadness, and whatever shame there is in how would you feel, Stugatz? How would you feel? Like, Mike just said before, it's how Stugatz would leave. I shouldn't even ask you how you feel. I should ask myself how I feel when you leave.
Like, well, how would you feel
if you just left one day, if you didn't tell us? It like I think the way I'd feel is hurt, and also like, well, how surprised could I possibly be? Like, right. Everyone saw this coming.
Listen, I'm not going to leave without telling you first. I promise you. I mean, when that day comes, I'm going. Well, you and I are going to have a little sit down. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to leverage you, and then we'll go see what happens.
They told Pat Riley and Mickey Arison first. It was a phone call 10 minutes before they left, after they had already worked on the Sports Illustrated story, but it was in like 10 or 15 minutes before that story came out.
That's one of my most painful days being a sports fan. The day that I was watching SportsCenter during the World Cup and I saw Jay Crawford not be able to hide his excitement as the Sports Illustrated cover graphic goes on behind him, and Brian Windhorst also can't hide his excitement for it. And I remember in the show afterwards, which is one of the best shows we've ever done, but I was lost. And you would say,
"Oh, it was great."
You would say that you lost him how you got him. And I hear Billy say this too. No, we didn't. We didn't. We got him via trade, and we gave up first round draft picks for him. He left us without any of those picks. Picks that we gave up for a fifth year that he didn't accept, and he was actively recruiting against this franchise because he feared what Pat Riley would do. He feared this, and rest assured, this was coming a hell of a lot sooner if Chris Bosh didn't get sick.
But Mike, this is coming from a Knicks fan, okay? I understand how painful that day was. I do. I get it. I understand it. You felt betrayed. You felt like he lied to you on that stage when he told you not five, not six, not seven, not eight, okay? But you got four of the greatest years a sports fan could get. And as a Knicks fan, I would take those 4 years for that one day of betrayal right now.
You got his prime.
Yes.
You cannot believe that what he did to the Heat was worse than what he did to the Cavs the first time.
The decision obviously was a public misstep, but I don't think he ever really figured out how to say goodbye until his third crack at it. Third time's a charm.
Well, no, it wasn't third time's a charm. It's just that we all understood, given what he had done the first two times when it was over in Cleveland, it'd be different. You might have gotten a different reaction from Cleveland if he hadn't the greatest comeback. He validated everything. Yeah. I thought he would, because of the amount of pressure on him. You remember how many weeks we spent wondering whether or not if he would cry on the court when they beat Oklahoma City? He did when he won in Cleveland. It absolutely meant more to him. We were a rental. Yeah. We were absolutely the mistress.
Yeah, and Miami Heat fans, it's low-hanging fruit. I understand. Nobody deserves the 4 years, and I'm eternally grateful for it, and I've gotten over it. But I also agree with the sentiment that there's no right way for a talent like LeBron James to leave. But I am just suggesting there are better ways for him to leave, certainly with Cleveland, but also not talked about because there wasn't a decision. The way that he left Miami wasn't good.
I wonder how you remember that, Cody. What is your take? Because I don't believe that we have anybody here, anybody looking at me right now, and we've got seven boxes here. Chris is still running around his neighborhood nude with Crocs, waving his pants over his head, lasso style. Do we have a person willing to pick the Lakers around here? Do we just have nothing but homerific people? Is there anyone around here? Are you guys going to make me pick the Lakers just so that we don't seem like the most homerific show in the history of shows?
I said Heat in five yesterday, so my picks are already in.
We're proudly Miami. It's not a homer pick. Look at it from a basketball perspective, Dan. What does your heart tell you?
Well, wait a minute. What does my heart tell me? That's not looking at it from a basketball perspective.
What does your basketball-shaped heart tell you?
If you're asking me for my heart.
It's basketball-shaped because it's enlarged.
That's right, because I eat too much.
Cholesterol.
Yes, I'm heavy. Yes.
It's a fat joke. Yeah. Well, what does it say?
Mike is so mean to you lately.
Make a pick, this is coming from a person that still hasn't picked the Eastern Conference Finals.
Do you guys want to make picks before Dan makes his pick, your official picks right now, and then we'll give Dan a minute to marinate on his pick, you know? Because we know what he wants to pick. He's having a hard time doing it. Let's go to Tony. Tony, what's your official NBA Finals pick?
Good thing is, boys, I've been the sacrificial lamb of the reverse jinx. I've picked everybody opposite the Heat in order to make sure that the Heat have the win in that series. So I'm going to go Lakers in six.
Wow, Lakers in six.
Have you picked against them in each series?
Yes, I have. The Pacers have picked against them, the Bucks, and the Celtics.
Attaboy. Right. So it's not really a pick for the Lakers. That's good.
But,
so
Dan but, can, well, Dan it is a pick for that. The Lakers, right. But it's not a pick for the Lakers. That's well done. That's kind of what I did with the Miami over Boston in 7 and triple overtime. Like, I just threw up my hands, being slightly braver than Mike, but only slightly, who, again, didn't make a pick at all.
Roy, you make an official pick here? Let's go.
Heat in 7.
Wow, Heat in 7. All right. Guillermo, what's your official pick?
What is yours? Heat in 5?
Yeah, I got Heat in 5. Heat in 4 is still open if anyone
I'll
wants it.
I'll do 4. I'll take, you know what? No. I'm going to go 3.
Attaboy.
Wow.
Attaboy. You learn well. You go 3, right. I take 2, you get 1. It's unbelievable. Greg Cody, are you ready to make your official pick here? I know you said earlier you weren't, but
he said, I don't know. I have a feeling. I don't. No, I'm going to take the Lakers. What do you mean you know?
This is more than a feeling. More than a feeling. Team is greater than 2. Heat in 7.
Wow. Heat in 7.
I don't think that deserves a wow. I think that was the most predictable thing ever. Anyone who picks the Heat in 7 is someone who's doing so only because they're totally scared of the team that they're playing, and you're just saying, I know it's going to go 7 games, and I think my team's going to win the most important one. Why? So that I don't feel like shit for the rest of the week.
Mike Ryan oddly stretched out before he made his pick. Mike, what is your official NBA Finals
you're
pick?
You're asking me if I think the Heat win?
Yeah.
Does the Pope wear red shoes? Heat in 6.
There it is.
Heat in 6.
There it is.
All right.
Does he wear red shoes? Put it on the poll.
I have no idea.
Based on the season?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show.
I know he doesn't wear white after Labor Day.
You can't slap.
Sometimes the Pope doesn't wear any shoes at all. Did you know that?
You cannot slap the console after saying, does the Pope wear red shoes? Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does the Pope wear red shoes?
All right, so we have all the official picks. Everyone's taking the Heat here. Tony's taking the Lakers only to jinx the Lakers because he really wants the Heat. So, Dan, all the Laker options are open for you.
All the Laker options are open for me. I will tell you what I think later.
Oh, come on! Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's later.
But this is a tease. It's known in the radio business as a tease.
Yeah, but later suggests it could be any time. I mean,
that is correct. Wait a minute. You're going to try and pin me down as if you don't know what it's like to be slippery? Like, that's what you're actually going to try to do. Yes, later can be at any time. Yes, kick the can down the road, Stugatz. Get back to me later is something we have heard from you for only 20 years. And it means that you're not going to do the thing we're asking you to do while you're saying you're going to do the thing we're asking you to do.
That's fair. But later, do you mean like later today or any time before the NBA
it's
finals?
It's a radio tease. It can be 3 games into the finals. You don't know. It can be at any point I can make my prediction.
I like your style.
I know we're joking around about this pick, but in Dan Le Batard's show with Stugatz lore, the conflicting NBA Finals predictions usually results in a bet of some sort. Sometimes it results in Stugatz dressing like Paul Feinbaum and having to shave his hair into a horseshoe. Sometimes it's Dan agreeing to eat an actual piece of shit. So we'll see what this year brings.
That was a thing that happened for those of you who haven't been. I think we're going to do some reminiscing, right? Because we've got, as punctuation, as weird punctuation in 2020 to what the last 10 years have been, I think we should go back in time because I ended up at the beginning of the decade in a Speedo because I lost a bet to Charles Barkley because I was convinced that the Miami Heat of LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, that those three guys together could not lose in the finals. And I lost a Speedo bet to Charles Barkley. We were
in this room when it was a lounge.
It was not a studio yet. Yes, that's a part of the story people probably don't know.
Right,
it
there
was right across the
where highly questionable films. There was a throne and Stugatz was here and he was doing play by play. Cody, were you here? I believe Mickey Arison was here, the owner of the
Mickey was here.
The,
yes,
the Heat. Cody,
I was not there.
You were not there that day, but so. The Clevelander, this is before anything, before this studio. Was this studio going to be built, or did we not even know that at that point?
No, this is after the first year.
Yeah, this was just a coincidence. We did an event at the Clevelander, a second floor lounge, because inclement weather, and it ended up being our studios.
It was going to be outside, right? And then there was rain, and so we were in these studios, and so I lose that bet. And I don't remember. I do remember this was like our first year in Colin Cowherd's old spot, right? So it's the first year when we've got like 300 affiliates. And were we then making the bet that I was going to eat shit?
No, we did, but that turned into a Fieri bet. And this was still the afternoon time slot. Sugat spun that into a win. It's as great as he ever looked. And he left this studio and he hopped on a plane, I think, looking like Guy Fieri.
I did. I went straight to the airport. I didn't change a thing. I had the entire Guy Fieri outfit on. My hair was bleach blonde. I had to present my ID at security. The guy's like, this isn't you. I said, I swear it's me. I just did a radio gag. Thankfully, the guy at security knew me and knew of the show and actually watched the show that day. So it let me through.
You got a baseball card out of it.
I did. Yes.
But what is the what? I don't remember the details of the bet where I was going to eat shit.
It was Cavs Warriors. It was Cavs Warriors, and he took the Cavs. You took the Warriors because you said the Warriors were overwhelming. And I think this was even before Kevin Durant signed there, that you said that this was. I think your hot take was that this might be the greatest team you've ever seen. Either way, you won that bet. The very next year, you have another bet, and Sugats becomes Paul Feinbaum.
Right. Yes. I'm telling you right now, if we're going to bet, you know, on this series and we're talking about eating shit, then I got the Lakers at five.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. See, because I was worried. Wait a minute. If we're going to do a bet that involves shame, and there, I believe actually, you know what's funny about what just happened there? I believe if we make that the stakes with Cody, he's going to shift over there too. Cody, if we had to make a bet and the loser had to eat human shit, what would your prediction
be? Human shit. That's a horse of a different color. It was
well,
your
shit.
Shit
is it? I have to get details.
What, you want to know whose shit it is?
Yes, that's what he's asking. Cody, if I say, though, that there is a bet with monster consequences, then what is your prediction?
Oh, wow. I might go Lakers and six.
It changes things.
I'm sorry.
All right, everyone.
Eating no shit. I'll tell you that.
We're going around the horn. What's your eating shit prediction
Roy.
Now?
Right, Roy, what's your eating
Roy,
shit?
Roy, what is your eating shit prediction, Roy?
Lakers at two.
It's all fun and games
until you gotta
until
eat
someone
shit.
Makes you eat a piece of shit.
And Tony, I imagine you would then take the eating five.
Yeah, he can afford to sweep.
Some game last night, huh, fellas? This is becoming a thing with Lamar Jackson. If that offense becomes predictable, you make him throw from behind, that's not the best spot. But to be fair to Lamar Jackson, when you make any offense in the NFL predictable, there are only a couple of transcendent arms that can overcome that, Dan.
Well, you say this is becoming a thing with Lamar Jackson, but he's 21-1 against everybody who's not the Chiefs. So
that's like, the team he has to beat, though, to get to a Super Bowl.
No, I know, but they make it difficult.
Well, this is just a regular season stat, though, because he is 0-2 in the playoffs, and one more egg like that under the bright lights of a nationally televised game against a good playoff-caliber defense, it might certainly become a thing.
No, the questions are coming now because he was in a national game, and it doesn't matter that he won the MVP. It's 2.3 yards per attempt, and we know the difference between these two quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes one time has had more than 6 yards per attempt in a game. Once! Like, Lamar Jackson was 2.3 yards per attempt last night. They couldn't do anything last night. Their main offense was a 93-yard kick return.
The Mahomes throw, and clearly I was very, very wrong about this when I said Andy Reid should be ashamed of himself for getting rid of Alex Smith in favor of Patrick Mahomes. The 49-yard touchdown pass to Hardman across his body with a guy hunting him down, and he puts it – Hardman did not have to break stride just right in his hands. It was incredible.
He also in that game had an underhand toss for a touchdown.
It was fullback.
And a fake jump pass that kind of made everyone watching it feel like it was traveling, even though it's a completely different sport, and froze everybody. He's an unprecedented talent.
Let me explain to you the two plays specifically that Stugatz is talking about. And I'm not talking about the creativity of a play I've never seen, which is that underhanded flip bullshit to the guy who's shaped like a square. Like, I don't even know what
that
was.
He's just having fun out there, man.
Was it even with his right hand? It might have been with his left hand.
Yeah. Left-handed, I'm going to beat you with my fullback.
But I want to talk about two of the plays specifically that you're talking about, Stugatz, because of the combination of grace, athleticism, and also having that clock in your head that Aaron Rodgers has. So on the long pass you're talking about, he sees what the defense is. He knows how much time he needs. And so therefore he starts backing up to his left away right. from where that throw is going because he knows he needs to back up. This is not the way a quarterback drops back. He is backing up to create more time before because he's got, I think it was Humphreys, number 44, coming off the left edge, and he'd already burnt Humphreys on the previous play you were talking about with a pump, so that wasn't going to work again.
Right.
So he's going back to his left and throws across his body, and in the history of the sport, there are only a couple of guys with the arm strength to make that throw. Roll, like, you're not rolling to your left. He was going backwards to his left.
He's making it a more difficult throw for himself, but he's buying himself an extra second to make the throw.
He's buying himself time. Yeah. He's buying his receiver time because that was a slow developing route, such that you can say the Chiefs ever have a slow developing route because of how overwhelmingly fast they are. But he needed to buy time because, again, someone was coming untouched from the right side. So the only way to buy time is to sort of backpedal backwards, to backpedal to his left backwards, and to throw the ball on a parabola a little softer than he might otherwise. Again, a lot of guys don't have that arm strength, but I was more impressed by the other play, which is Humphreys again, like the symbolism of the play, it was laugh out loud funny when they went to the camera angle that was behind Mahomes so you could see exactly what had happened. So Humphreys is coming in untouched from the left side. And what Mahomes does, Humphrey is coming in untouched from the left side. And Mahomes jumps up in the air and pump fakes. And for reasons I have no ability to discern, Humphrey turns around to look at where the ball is going when he's at Mahomes' chest right. as he's jumping up. If he just goes clean through the hit, maybe he dislodges the ball. Maybe he hurts Mahomes. Certainly he knocks him down. But he turned around on the pump fake. And then in that hiccup of hesitation, Mahomes lands, runs to his left. It was third and something, third and five. And Humphrey gets a step away from chasing him down again. And he throws the ball down the field, and he gets a first down, and you just see Humphrey put his head in his hands, his helmet, like, because he's like, oh, bleep, man. That, like, what am I doing turning around on a pump fake there while the quarterback is jumping off the ground to pump fake me?
He's incredible. He's the fastest to 10,000 yards. He's won a Super Bowl. He's won an MVP. It feels like that team, not just Mahomes, because the team is just loaded, Mike. It feels like that team's going to go on a ridiculous run here if he stays healthy, if Mahomes stays healthy.
The only thing that seems that can stop them is obviously injury or an all-world defense that I'm not exactly sure exists, especially in that conference.
The Chargers right now. Defense is all you need.
I need to know exactly how you go about stopping this guy, because even when New England did it, they got lucky in that game. It came down to a coin toss, and Patrick Mahomes just didn't have the ball in his hands. Otherwise, I think we all know how that one goes.
Cody, I think I am ready to say flatly, I don't think that there has to be a pause here, and it's not necessarily shocking. I don't think it's prisoner of the moment. Like, that's the best you've ever seen, is it not? Like, never mind Marino, Aaron Rodgers, that's the best you've ever seen the position played, correct?
It's weird to make that declaration so soon in his career, but it sure seems legit right now. I didn't think the Ravens defense was capable of being made to look that bad. Going into the game, you could have argued Baltimore is the best team in the league, and that's the best defense in the league. And Mahomes just ran through it and over it. It was frightening for the rest of the league to watch that game, because Mahomes right now and that offense, they look unstoppable. They really do, because if they're going to do that to the Ravens, they can do that to anybody. Anybody. I mean, I think this is a dynasty that we're seeing right now, and Mahomes is he's just on a different planet.
Three weeks into the season, it doesn't look like there's an NFL defense that's as good as the one that he beat in the Super Bowl. I don't know how you beat this guy, and fan bases all across the country are just going to be rooting for injury.
One of the cool things about that game, it's rare where my wife and kids want to sit down and watch a game with me. They did last night because of Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, both those guys, especially my daughters. And I turned to my wife after that throw that we were just talking about, and that was a solid breakdown by you on that throw. I said, he's the greatest I've ever seen. I can't believe I'm saying that so early. I do the ring thing all the time. It's just, Brady with six, but he's the greatest I've ever seen play that position.
It's all of it, though. The thing that you rarely get to see this young is you have the skill set that has everything. Like, you're scared of him running on third and five. You're scared of him breaking tackles. You're scared of him. I do not believe that plays are covered deep sometimes with that team because the defense is simply saying that's not a throw that can be made. Right. That is not a throw. I think the Hartman play might have been that, where you've got him rolling to his left, and both the safety and the corner bit on the out portion of that because they're like, if he's backing up to the other side of the field, he's not going to throw it across his body 50 yards.
He took a 49-yard throw and made it like a 65-yard throw. And you're right. I think the defenders were saying there's no way he can make that throw.
If the defense is saying we've got a corner coming in from the outside on a blitz, or we've got Humphrey coming in on the outside on a blitz, he doesn't have time to get the ball down the field 60 yards.
He can make every throw and ones that hadn't been invented yet.
I mean, he did no look last year.
He did an underhand top with his offhand to his fullback. He floated one to his left tackle. He's just playing out there.
This is the kind of thing that makes every fan base jealous, correct? Like, there are very few times that a fan base gets to have something like this where you're like, oh, we're going to be good for 10 years. Yeah. We're going to be, like, exceptional. We are going to matter for 10 years for as long as he stays behind the center.
Did you guys have that feeling with Marino down here? You knew right away.
Cody, did we? Like, it felt like that pretty, it felt pretty fast. There had also been some starvation because it had been Woodley and Strzok, and we had seen some limitations at that position.
But Marino, you knew, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, you knew right away he was great, correct?
Yes, yeah. From the middle of 83 through the 84 season, Marino was Mahomes before Mahomes, and I think that's a fair analogy, but of course, infamously, Marino never won a single championship, and Mahomes has already won one, so he has separated himself from that. And the weird thing about Mahomes is, look, Russell Wilson's having a better season right now statistically, right? 14 touchdowns, one interception, a better rating, but he's just not exciting and explosive in the same way that Mahomes is.
He has been this season.
Well, he has been, but still, when you see Mahomes last night, you say he's the best quarterback in the league. Who's second? And then you get to, you know, Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott and even Josh Allen.
Greg, I think if you look at the numbers, Russell Wilson has been better so far this year.
He probably has.
Through three games, I think Russell Wilson has been better.
Yes, he has been. 14 touchdowns, one interception. But still, I think the consensus right now is, yeah, the best quarterback in the league is Patrick Mahomes. And who's second? The argument is who's second. For me, you know, forgetting the statistics for a minute, you could argue Russell Wilson, but after seeing last night, and you didn't have to see it, Patrick Mahomes is the king right now.
I'd like to see Seattle against Kansas City. I'd like to see what that looks like. Wow. That probably will look like Dallas against Seattle, and probably will look like the game before that you saw at the goal line, Seattle and the Patriots.
He's signed to a $500 million contract, and it seems like a bargain. And credit to the Chiefs GM, because he kept that team has gotten stronger year over year. And that defense plays from such an advantageous position because they know they're going to be given a lead. So the old adage, they can pin their ears back. I don't know how they were able to keep all their guys, including Sammy Watkins. You'd think Sammy Watkins is tailor-made to be a guy that walks, considering that they're just like cloning him, essentially, with all their other receivers. Doesn't matter. They'll bring him back. It's an unbelievable job, and it's terrifying if you're a fan of any other team.
Don't you think players just want to stay there now at this point?
Shit, I'm going to win every Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And now they seem to have a young, potentially elite running back in Edwards-Helaire, who they get in the bottom of the first round. The rich get richer right now. Mahomes, the entirety of his offense is just fluid. It's fantastic.
They can put anybody in there, though, Greg.
Correct.
That's the thing. At this point, they can put anybody in these positions.
They did.
Mike Ryan was saying that the defense gets the comfort of playing with the lead. No, the defense, that, yes, but the defense also gets the comfort of knowing that no deficit matters. They showed you that just in the playoffs last year, that deficits don't matter either. That if they start slow, they've got the quarterback who can go get them 30 points in a hurry.
That's the difference between, to me, between Mahomes and everyone else, Lamar Jackson included, is when you're down 17-0, you're the Ravens, you feel like you have no shot. You're down 17-0, you're the Chiefs, you're like, okay, no big deal.
They're operating in that special place where the Patriots did, where you're just like throwing your hands up. How'd they get this guy in the draft? It's because they know that they have the one guy that makes everybody better. They won a Super Bowl with Damian Williams, who arguably could have been the Super Bowl MVP. That is, when you say they could do it with anybody, he is anybody. Couldn't cut it here in Miami. He's not even playing this year.
He's still a Chief, by the way.
Yeah, he's just on that COVID list. He opted out of the season, and now they're just like, okay, we'll just add a first-round talent because you guys devalue running backs. Rich get richer.
When Stugatz is saying history of the league stuff and going to our resident historian, Greg Cody, what can be said is this isn't Marino. This is Marino with legs. This is Marino, and you also have to worry about him running away from you.
It's just that overall feeling when you see a guy play and you know you're going to be good, relevant for a decade is what I was talking about. You're right. He's better than Dan Marino.
It's the Elway class, but yeah. I don't remember this, Greg, even from Elway. Elway had bad defenses. Elway went out on top with a couple of titles at the end. Elway also had this majestic baseball play. I could play baseball if I want to, or football. Just an unbelievable athlete. That's the closest comp, is it not, Greg, in terms of just skill set?
Elway, I still think Marino as a passer was the equivalent of Mahomes in terms of arm strength, in terms of the quick release. But you're right, the legs separate them, the mobility, which Marino really never had. But I still go back to Marino in 83, 84. But
Homer.
That was a 2 or 3 year window. No, Marino,
Homer.
Man. You had to be here in 83 into 84.
Homer.
It was magical. It was just magical. But, you know, Marino's prime was really just 5 years or so. And Mahomes is going to be like this for 10 or 12 years, it looks like.
I hate to interrupt this trip down memory lane and Elway and Marino and all. Is it later yet? Are you going to pick who's going to win the series between the Heat and the Lakers?
I am going to do that. I'm going to do it later.
When?
Is that the last time Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to be underdogs for like the foreseeable future, barring injury?
If they went to Seattle after a game like the one they just played at the Chargers, because that's
what
happened.
Seattle doesn't have that defense.
No, but that's what happened. What happened in that game is people were holding against the Chiefs what happened against the Chargers the previous week, where most of the game they were averaging fewer than 5 yards a play.
They'll be favored at home every game, so it doesn't matter. Looking at the road schedule, though, is there a chance November 29th the Buccaneers are good enough where maybe they're a 1-point favorite at home? A chance.
Can I lock that line in now?
I care about you.
Oh, really? No. Yeah. No. On principle, if Mahomes is ever a dog, that's an auto bet. Auto bet? It's crazy. I've never seen anything like that.
Not a surprise that we were talking about history and we were talking about layers of football analysis, and the place that Mike Ryan ends the segment is wanting to make a bet 6 weeks from now against the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Futures.
Need that to cash.